Hey everyone. I hope you're all having a good afternoon, especially after that fun game. If you don't know me, my name is Britt, and it's so good to be here. And if you're new, welcome. I'm glad you've joined us. Before being a Pilates instructor and working here at church, I was a ballet dancer. One of the things I loved most about doing ballet as my job, besides being paid to dress up as a fairy or a rat, and yes, I'm sad I couldn't find a rat picture of me. But what I found joy in was working hard, and I sacrificed a lot of my time and energy, but it was worth it, you know, but only for a little while. In the end, I hit rock bottom of my ballet career, and I felt that all my hard labor was a waste. I realized that ballet couldn't give me real, lasting joy. But God brought me near, and through coming near to his word, I found joy in Jesus. He was someone who cared deeply and risked everything for others. Jesus labored with joy, and this is our main idea for today. Joyful labor. Let's get stuck into it. We're setting the scene. Paul is in Rome, in a Roman prison, and is writing a letter to the church of Philippi, also known as the Philippians. He writes about a guy called Timothy and another guy with a fancy name called Epaphroditus. These men were not apostles, they weren't spectacular miracle workers, but they were both examples of people living out Jesus' story. And our first point for this afternoon will be servant-hearted. We start off in verse 19 with Paul sending Timothy to check in on the Philippians, reading from verse 20. I have no one else like him who will show genuine concern for your welfare. Here, Paul is saying that a person like Timothy is rare. He uses the word genuine, which means authentic or real, to describe him. Timothy wasn't interested in people-pleasing or being popular. He had a real and honest concern, or rather care for people and their needs. Verse 21 says, "For everyone looks out for their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ." Timothy would always put aside his own wants, his own desires, and instead he would put first what was pleasing to God. It was clear that Timothy's love for God overflowed in how he loved others. He had the heart of a servant. He truly listened to people so he could understand them. He was identified by his humility, meaning he had a low view of his own importance. Looking on at verse 22, Paul says, "But you know that Timothy has proved himself, because as a son with his father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel." Here we see that Timothy found joy in being servant-hearted. There were hardships and difficulties, but there were also triumphs and victories. He also had the joy of serving alongside Paul in some of his most challenging assignments. And I hope this encourages us to be more joyful, like Timothy, in giving up our own wants and desires to God. This is joyful labor. This is not easy, and it calls for us to risk everything, which is our next point. Verse 25, "But I think it is necessary to send back to you Epaphroditus, my brother, co-worker, and fellow soldier, who is also your messenger, whom you sent to take care of my needs." Epaphroditus was a Philippian himself. He was a member of the church of Philippi. He chose himself to make the long and dangerous journey to Rome to stand by Paul's side and support him. To Paul, Epaphroditus was like a brother, a friend, and a fighter for the gospel. Epaphroditus gave up his own safety to guard the church's gift that they were giving to Paul. Paul says in verse 26, "For he longs for all of you and is distressed because you heard he was ill. Indeed, he was ill and almost died, but God had mercy on him." We don't know what Epaphroditus got sick with, but we do know that his sickness was so severe that he nearly died. However, God was kind and spared his life. But the interesting thing is that Epaphroditus was not worried about himself. He was worried for the Philippians because they were stressed about him nearly dying. This reflects his heart and, like Timothy, shows his real and honest care for others. Reading on from verse 28. I am all the more eager to send him, Epaphroditus, so that when you see him again, you may be glad and I may have less anxiety. So then, welcome him in the Lord with great joy and honor people like him because he almost died for the work of Christ. Epaphroditus completely gave up his own wants and desires. He worked hard through faith with Paul, furthering the good news, no matter the cost. Timothy and Epaphroditus' lives looked very different to the world. They stood out because of their joy in what Jesus had done for them. For Jesus came down into the world as a man and lived a perfect life. He came because we turned down God as ruler of our lives. We thought we could do it better, so we walked away from him. And this made us guilty before God. But Jesus took our place and was nailed to the cross. He hung there as our substitute in pain for us. He took on God's judgment for us. And then he died and came back to life 3 days later. And the good news is, if we turn back to him and completely give our lives over to him, we can be brought back into a relationship with God forever. Jesus came to serve us by taking our place at the cross. Jesus risked everything so that we could be saved. Senior High, what are you laboring in to find joy? Is it a person? A relationship? Is it sexual pleasure? A desire for everyone to see you as cool and popular? Being that person who knows everything? Being fit and beautiful like your favorite TikToker? What are you working hard for? Does it have eternal value? There's a guy in the Bible called Solomon who was a king, and this is what he said about his joyful labor in the book of Ecclesiastes. He says, I denied myself nothing my eyes desired. I refused my heart no pleasure. My heart took delight in all my labor, and this was the reward for all my toil. Yet, when I surveyed all that my hands had done and what I had toiled to achieve, everything was meaningless, a chasing after the wind. Nothing was gained under the sun. What can we take home from this? I feel like a lot of us are just waiting until after high school to start evangelizing, where we'll be wiser and more mature. A lot of us think that high school students don't really care about Jesus anyway. So what's the point in having conversations? I would like to challenge this. Not only does Jesus command us to tell others about him, but also statistics show us that the time is now to be spreading the gospel. What McCrindle research shows about Generation Z, people in your age bracket, are the most comfortable and will most often talk about spirituality and religion. People your age are very likely to come to church if personally invited by a friend or a family member. In 2020, people your age had the highest percentages of having spiritual chats, thinking about the meaning of life, thought about God, prayed and read the Bible. The greatest attraction for people looking into faith is seeing people who live out a real and honest faith. One of the biggest turnoffs for people looking into faith is hearing miraculous stories about people being healed and of supernatural events. And the most interesting stat is that the most common way to prompt someone to think about faith is by actually having a conversation with them rather than social media, a major life crisis, or reading a book or article. Senior high, what is your heart's attitude toward telling others about Jesus? Are you being intentional with your conversations? If telling others about the gospel is something you're apathetic about or something you don't really care about, I would urge you to examine your heart. If you truly love your friends and family, you'll work hard at telling them about Jesus and suffering for it. Eternity matters, guys. Do you care for people's eternal future? You can ask your leaders to resource you with books, podcasts, and wisdom on how to chat about tricky questions. Do you personally know and love the God you're telling others about? When you're having chats with people who don't believe in Jesus, are you actively listening and responding in truth and gentleness? Are you prayerfully pleading with God to save people? Let's be risking everything for the gospel because it's eternally worth it. To wrap things up, Paul writes to the Philippians as well as to us about joyful labor. May we be servant-hearted like Timothy and risk everything like Epaphroditus to spread the saving, eternal news of Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, your love is overwhelming. We didn't deserve your love, but you sent Jesus as our substitute. Help us to be servant-hearted toward one another. Help us to risk everything for the gospel because Jesus has given us everything and more. Amen.